Maybe he's got to turn this guy loose.
Buccaneers fans, Ira Kaufman is here. He's the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the great baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. This is the Ira Kaufman podcast presented by Bill Curry Ford. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. And we, as Ira would say, we chop it up here on the podcast, which you can find at Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, Podbean, Google Podcasts, all these different places. But the best place to listen or download is at JoeBucksFan.com. Sage, we're fired up. We just learned that Sean Sullivan and his Best in Class podcast, he's our draft guru, as well as the general manager, Bill Curry Ford. It's making a comeback. Sean's been so busy with so many things. And of course, at Bill Curry Ford, they're coming to the conclusion of their massive construction project, creating the most innovative and cutting edge dealership in the history of the Tampa Bay area by far. That's at Bill Curry Ford, but they're still open for business during the construction. BillCurryFord.com is where you can start shopping. Sean has a $500 gift card with every custom order of a new vehicle. No deposit necessary. And of course, you get 10-year roadside assistance, a lifetime warranty on all new vehicles, a personal concierge to help you with your custom order. It's the way to go. But of course, you can do it the old-fashioned way at the dealership and walk in and or just reach out to Sean, email, phone, and he will help you personally. Everybody gets the Ira Kaufman discount, and you just have to ask Sean for it. BillCurryFord.com, family-owned. It makes a real difference. And Sage, we're excited to stock up on Big Storm beer for Thursday night's game, Buccaneers at Buffalo. BigStormBrewery.com. You can see all the beers, all the descriptions, and the Storm Tracker is back and updated in full force. So you can punch in your zip code where you, and then what beer you want, and you can find out where to buy it near you. They've got it down to the actual beer now, not just where they sell Big Storm products. And of course, they're the great Big Storm spirits and the tap rooms in Odessa, Clearwater, and both of those locations now, Ira, they've got the Kolsch. How about that?
I love that, Stevie. I love it. And you know I'm going to hit that hard next time I'm at Big Storm.
Yes, the Big Storm Kolsch is back in those tap rooms. And, of course, there are also tap rooms in Ybor City, Centro Ybor, upstairs. Follow them on social media. They've got a lot of great lineups of events, live music, and they had a disco night recently. And, of course, Big Storm is in Orlando at the Amway Center and down in Cape Coral. We'll be back there for a game soon, Ira, picking a date. Sage will stuff his face and join Bucks fans in what's hopefully a happy celebration, BigStormBrewery.com. Our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, we'll talk about them later, but in the meantime, mark it down, Florida'sElitereStoration.com. That's where you go when you have that disaster at your home or property, fire, flood, mold, storm damage, whatever it may be. All right, Sage, now, Bucks fans, they do not want a disaster on Thursday night. And a lot of people think it's going to be a disaster, and they're still in shock after what happened on Sunday. We talked about that in our last podcast, but we're going to try to move on from that a little bit, Ira, but there has been some fallout and some interesting commentary about that loss coming from One Buck, where Lee was patrolling all day yesterday, and some other interesting commentary from the facility. But how are you, Ira, and what's your take on all the stuff you heard yesterday at One Buck?
You know, Steve, in retrospect, I very much regret that I was not at One Buck Place with the Kemper when Baker Mayfield took the podium and probably looking directly at Lee and said, I guess we're not a run-first team. And that must have made the Kemper's day. He must have walked out of there feeling like a million bucks. You tell him, Baker. You tell him. You hear that, Canales? You hear that, Bowles? You can't run the ball. Don't run the ball. If you're not a run-first team, and I don't want you to be a run-first team, Lee. I don't want them running on 55% of the downs, but I don't want them running on 33% of the downs, which they did during the Tom Brady years. Now, why do I say that, Lee? It's obvious. Baker Mayfield's no Tom Brady, even though Brady wasn't great last year. Now it's Baker Mayfield. Lee, you've watched Mayfield enough through six games. Do you want him throwing 45 passes, Lee? Do you want that
So no, the answer, but you don't want them running 45 times either. You've seen that, Ira. Mayfield, you got a chance to put the ball down, get the ball downfield. Running the ball, the only chance you've got is walking off the field after third down. Ira, this is, and I know we talked about this at the game last Sunday. This is beyond horrible offense, running the ball. I mean, it's to the point where it's unacceptable. It really is. It's that bad. It is really that bad. It's hurt the defense. Now, the defense will never say this. This is dragging the team down, and I almost hate to say it, but we are at this point, I believe. This may drag Bowles down for good.
Lee, I certainly cannot rebut your point about how bad the running game is. I can't. That would be foolish. However, Lee, in the spirit of compromise, politically, you're big on compromise. Got to give a little to get a little.
Exactly.
So, Lee, in the spirit of compromise, and I hope you're listening to this, Isbit, so you can weigh in. Here's my answer. Fix the running game. Fix it.
Thank you.
Change the offensive line if you have to. Certainly change the running back room. Go fix it, because neither one of us ideally wants Mayfield on that many times. But I can't argue with your point as is right now. They can't run the ball. They're terrible at it. They show no signs of improvement. Without Mayfield's 31-yard run, it was absolutely brutal. 2.2 yards going into that Mayfield 31-yard run. Steve, they got to fix it. They can't abandon it, but they got to fix it.
Oh, by the way, Richard Nixon would call it the art of compromise.
There you go.
We've heard several times, and I know Steve and I disagree on this. Steve says baloney. I think there's a reasonable expectation that it's accurate. Canales says his offense is so complex, it will take time, and there's no easy way around it. Do you think it's to the point that maybe they need to revisit this? And like, Dave, maybe you want to pull back. Maybe these guys, for whatever reason, just aren't understanding it. You know, it's almost like, I'm not saying these guys are children, but think of it as an educational issue. If a teacher is trying to teach a subject and the class isn't getting it, maybe they need to pull back and start from scratch, or change the way they're presenting so that these guys can absorb it quicker or better or understand it to a better degree than what's happening now. You see what I'm getting at? Maybe pull back and start focusing on the fundamentals. We both saw, Ira, how that was such a sloppy offense with the dumb penalties. You know, a high school coach would go bananas about that.
More than anything about the abysmal run game, Lee, it didn't just materialize. This has been a problem for years. Now, I'm checking on, and now last year, obviously, it was terrible. I'm checking on 2021 when they won 13 games. It wasn't terrible. They had Fournette, Ronald Jones averaged 4.2 yards, Fournette 4.5. It was considerably better, about 100 yards a game on the ground, 4.3 average. Nothing wrong with a 4.3 average, Lee. Nothing wrong with that. And the Bucs scored a lot of points. They averaged 30 points that year and won 13 games. But now this is going on last year. This year, the offensive line's been overhauled. No change. Rashad White, wasn't on the 21 team. He hasn't made a difference. Steve, this is a chronic problem. It's a one-year problem.
All right, I got to address what Lee brought up to you. Ira, you didn't really answer Lee's question. Do you want to answer Lee's question before I chime in?
Well, I'm starting to think that these coaches got to do a better job. Canales at the tip of the spear, so to speak, the running backs coach, the offensive line coach. It's really hard to watch, Steve. It's brutal to watch. And you can't tell me it's all got to do with this new offense. This is week eight, Isbits. This is week eight. This is not week two, a preseason. What is so complicated that what Canales is trying to do here? I don't see a lot of variety in these runs. I don't. I watch other teams. They're going wide. They're trying reverses. They're doing screens. I'm not seeing much of that, Steve. If it's too complex, dumb it down. What he's doing isn't working, Steve.
If he does go outside, you notice it's the wide receivers, the jet sweeps, that kind of stuff. He was asked, a couple weeks ago, about the lack of outside running. And he said his research suggests that outside running, it's really hit or miss. It's a boom or bust. You're probably going to lose yards, or you're going to get a nice gain. And he, Canales, believes in trying to get a consistent run game. And he says you're much better and more – if you can get rolling, running between the tackles, that's a much more consistent way to move the ball than hoping you hit a double in the gap by running outside.
Well, I'd rather have boom and bust than just bust, Steve. Right, bust.
A classic Sage line right there. All right, look.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Look, as far as the complexity of the offense, what I'll say is this. Baker Mayfield is the quarterback and who drives the offense. Now, he got off to a good start. He has the highest completion percentage of his career. He doesn't have any issues with the offense. He's not throwing 7 million picks because he's confused. So your quarterback gets it. Mike Evans, very quietly, is on pace for what could be the best season of his career statistically.
A couple of drops,
a few drops by Evans. Sure, that's bad, but that's not on Dave Canales. And Chris Godwin is obviously playing well. The pass blocking is good. They're not missing assignments and all that stuff. So I don't think that there's any complexity issue with the quarterback and the receivers and the pass blocking. So then we come back to the running game and the decisions that Canales is making. Now, we've basically thrown out wide runs, so that's one thing they don't have to worry about. So we're talking about different kinds of inside runs. Rondé Barber was on the Buccaneers radio network and basically explained in very high-level fashion that the Bucs on the zone runs that Canales, you know, came in planning to run, he said they've been real bad at those, but they've been much better on the gap runs when they've had success. More of it's come on the gap runs. But Barber pointed a finger at Robert Hainsey, which ties to Sage's source that he dropped on us last podcast, saying that Hainsey's getting replaced could be imminent. And of course, now there's the X factor of the Matt Filer injury at left guard. We'll talk about that. But he pointedly called Hainsey a 2-year backup player. And even though he started every game last year, Rondé Barber went out of his way to say Hainsey is a backup playing center, and the Bucs are feeling that in the running game. And he also said Cody Mauch isn't there in the running game. Now, you have to scheme around that. I'm not making excuses for anybody, but I don't think it's complexity is the issue here. So that's just where I stand on that, because the quarterback is having too much success.
Hainsey's a problem in the run game. He's a problem. He's not strong enough to get a push. And it's apparent, you know, when you watch the tape and you look at the stats. And Cody Mauch, I thought, started out okay late the first couple of weeks in those wins, but he's regressed a little bit. It's funny, Lee, the pass protection, as you pointed out, has been good. Not great. Mm-hmm. Not great, Lee, and I'll tell you why it's not great. Because every game, Lee, we see pass rushers coming free. And I think one of the startling things about Mayfield, for me, is you know, his elusiveness within the pocket. I didn't know about that. Maybe he hasn't been that before, but he's certainly been very good at it this year, making that first guy miss. But, Lee, it's not like that first guy's not getting through. Some, more than you'd want, somebody's breaking free, and somehow Mayfield's dodging him and buying some more time. So it's weird about this offensive line. Overall, I give him a solid B, maybe even a B-plus in pass protection, and they just get an F, Lee. There's no D. They get an F on run blocking. Rashad White gets an F on his decision making. It's just garbage, Lee. A lot of garbage.
Well, my standard for F really is an F, and that's the famous Bucs 2014 offensive line that featured the likes of O'Neal Cousins, Garrett Wolfskilke, the pothead at left tackle they told to go home and not come back. That, to me, is an F. Bucks aren't even close to that, number one. Number two, I see holes. We all see holes. I remember the way you looked at me. I think it was the second or third play from scrimmage that the Bucks ran, and there was a hole, and you looked at me like, I don't believe what I just saw. I'll never forget the look on your face. We were both looking at each other. We didn't have to say a word. We knew. There are holes there. Maybe not a lot, but they are there. Why White is not choosing to run to daylight, I have no earthly idea, but he's not. And so I see holes, so that doesn't tell me that's an F. As far as the pass blocking, I know people are screaming up and down. I mean, just people want to strangle their wives. They're so pissed off about the alleged horrible run blocking. I couldn't even think of tinkering with an offensive line that leads the league in fewest sex allowed. I couldn't even think about it. I just can't go there.
Well, Lee, they're not scoring points. You know, they're not scoring points.
They're not scoring points, but they're elite in a pass. They're not allowing sacks in a passing league. Now, the coaches are too dumb to take advantage of that. What can I say?
Hey, Sage, real quick on the sack numbers. That has changed. That has changed. Patrick Mahomes, with a left tackle that we know all about, has the fewest sacks in the league, and they've played one more game than the Bucs. Mahomes has been dropped 7 times. Mayfield's been dropped 8 times. But, you know, I'm not going to go against the O-line with the pass blocking, Ira. You know, there's quarterbacks out there that are very elusive, like Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson. They've been sacked more than double the rate of Mayfield. So he's just being good back there, and I've enjoyed him being elusive, but he's not the only elusive quarterback. I think they're doing a hell of a job. I would give them an A-minus at least on the pass blocking for sure. Canales said it himself, that we may be learning our identity as more of a passing team. And that brings us to something very interesting Todd Bowles said yesterday on the Buccaneers radio network, Ira. He said he doesn't have a number three receiver, that they're still looking for it, and that they all do something, you know, they all have their strengths, but they're all a work in progress. And, he sort of critiqued Devin Tompkins' fumble, and that, he thinks that they'll eventually start making plays later. He didn't have good energy when he was talking about those receivers. And, you know, considering his offensive guru is a high-energy guy, Bowles seemed like he was sort of saying, we need a body in here. And I don't necessarily rule out that maybe somebody, if they really decide to change things a little bit, maybe they chase a receiver at the trade deadline here to kickstart that and get a little bit more depth. God forbid Godwin or Evans went down for 4 weeks. I'm not sure what the Bucs would do.
That's a critical point, Steve. We all have our obsessions, Steve. We all have them. I'm obsessed with Kolsch at Big Storm. You're obsessed with Russell Gage, even though you didn't mention his name just now. Steve, I was expecting Russell. I was expecting Russell Gage to pop up out of your mouth. I'm surprised, quite frankly, that you didn't mention him. But you're not wrong, Steve. If you're a passing team, do they have enough weapons? Can they spread the field right now? Nobody's paying attention to Palmer or Tompkins as a third or fourth option. Steve, you're right. By the way, Godwin hasn't scored a touchdown this year. I think that's disgusting. He didn't score. He didn't catch a lot of touchdown passes last year, even though he caught 100 balls. I mean, can we get Godwin into the end zone, Steve? What's going on there? You mentioned it was just a passing remark last week, but the other day. But I think it's important. Lee, does he throw to Godwin more than 12 yards down the field ever? It's not like Godwin runs a 4.940. I mean, he's proven in the past he can catch longer passes, 20 yard catches, and reach the end zone. They got some work to do with Godwin. I know he does a lot of those dirty underneath things. I think he can do more, but it goes back to those third and fourth receivers. And I'm not finished with the run game yet, Lee, because I'm going to throw one more up at you. And I'll go on record and tell me if you're right there with me. Lee, why is White still getting the rock as much as he is? Why? I've seen him for a year and a half, Lee. I haven't seen any improvement. He's good in space catching the ball. In terms of those carries, Lee, it's been a year and a half. I haven't seen any reason to keep him as the featured back.
In a year and a half, Rashad White has yet to have a good game on this continent.
Now you made me laugh, Lee.
I figured you would like that. I mean, I agree with you, Ira. I agree with you. And the only thing I could think of, and this is sad if it's true, the only thing I could think of, outside of possibly he's got friends in high places in the organization, the reason why they keep going to White and keep going to White and keep going to White, even though he doesn't do anything, outside of the pass game, he's a good receiver. I think he's a misplaced slot receiver. I really do. I can only guess that everybody else is worse. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense at all.
That is sad.
Everybody's witnessed this. He hasn't even broken one this season. Of the top 30 rushers in yards in the NFL, 6 of them have yet to have a 20-yarder or more. Of course, Rashad White is in that group, and it's just sad all around. Another thing Rondé Barber said about the running game, he did not mention White by name, but he did say that he feels that the running backs just don't have good feel for what the defense is doing. And he talked about the running of Christian McCaffrey, who finds holes that are not there yet because he understands what the defense is going to do. He talked about film study all of the many, many, many years. And it's an interesting sort of angle on Rondé Barber and his knowledge of the game. He talked about how he basically studied his brother playing for years. So he knows a ton about the running back position because he always scrutinized the film of his brother. And, you know, he put a lot of this, or at least a chunk of it, on the running backs that you know, you got to make things happen that aren't there. That's what good running backs do. And it's got to happen a lot more than what they're doing it. And he just doesn't feel that their vision and their feel for what the Bucs are doing is very good at all, really, is a negative. So just another angle on the running game.
And Steve, I think it's worth mentioning the claim to fame for Baker Mayfield as a real deal NFL quarterback was the 2020 season. That's basically what Mayfield's got to go on. And the Browns, you know, who went a long time without making the postseason, won 11 games that year. Went into Pittsburgh, put up 40-something points, scared the hell out of the Chiefs at Arrowhead the following week. They had a very robust running game, Lee, and he averaged 30-31 passes. That's what happened. You know, he was in command of an offense, and they scored a lot of points and won a lot of games. Now, I'm not saying that there's Nick Chubb on this team, Lee, far from it. And Kareem Hunt.
Kareem Hunt, yeah.
Well, Kareem Hunt. But the facts are the facts, Lee. That is the season where Mayfield can look back and say, I belong in this league as an NFL starter. And that's what happened. They had a very balanced offense. That's right, Canales, balanced. Ran the ball very, very well. He didn't have great receivers, Lee. Yeah, he had good receivers. They weren't as good as Godwin and Evans, I don't think. So he's got better weapons. I don't want to close my eyes and think of Mayfield throwing 47 passes in Buffalo Thursday night and trying to win a shootout against Josh Allen. Steve, the Bills have 25 sacks. I think I'm right about that. Hey, that's a big number.
Don't disagree with what you're saying about you don't want Baker Mayfield to be Josh Allen, for example. But if you're worthless against the run, and that's what the Bucs are, and it's dragging the team down, the big picture. But like I said, the Detroit game, none of the defensive players, and I asked a couple, they won't admit it. You know, pride's involved. I get it. You can't tell me they weren't zapped with all those three and outs. You can't tell me that they were in such peak physical condition that that didn't matter. I refuse to believe that because it just doesn't make sense. If you cannot run, and this goes back to just common sense in life in general, if something is not working, why in God's green earth are you still trying to do it? I just think it's your response. I don't want Baker Mayfield to throw 40 times. But you know what? If that's your best option, you got a responsibility to your team and your coaches and the guys who you hired to keep them employed, to do what you can to score the best way you can score, whatever that may be. Evan Klosky of Channel 10 brought this up. You know, Buffalo is truly horrid against the run.
I didn't see their numbers, Lee. I haven't looked back.
They're bad. And Evan Klosky is saying, if this run game is ever going to get in gear, Thursday night is the night.
I agree with that because I think before they even get on the plane to come home Thursday night, if things don't go well against the Bills, and I'm talking about the running game again, I think Light's got to make a move. I think Bowles will be all over Light. I think the Glazers will be all over Light at that point with a below 500 record. If it happens, and a terrible run game, I don't think Light's going to have a choice. He's going to have to make a move, a blocking tight end, a running back, another offensive lineman, maybe all of it, Lee, maybe a third receiver. Something's got to change.
Sage, let me cut you off here for a second. Something has to change when it comes to insurance companies ripping off homeowners and business owners who have damage at their property, and they file a claim, and they don't get paid for what they're paying for. It's horrible. It happens all the time. So you need to go to bat with a good offensive coordinator who knows all the attack plans, and that's Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. That's where you find them. 24/7, you can call them for a free evaluation. After you have that disaster in your home or you find mold, whatever it is, call them 24/7. They'll give you that free evaluation. Call them before you call your insurance company and say something you're not supposed to say, or have their adjuster come out and set you up to get ripped off. It's a horrible business in that way, but Florida's Elite Restoration is saving homeowners. They're family-owned. Josh Martin, he is offering Bucks fans, Ira Kaufman fans, Joe Bucks fan readers, a $500 discount. If you call them, tell them you heard about it when you call from Ira or Joe Bucks fan. And after you get your free evaluation, if you need to move forward with an agreement for their services, then he'll give you $500 toward your deductible or maybe just cash back if you're paying for cash for restoration. Sean Sullivan, our good buddy from Bill Curry Ford, loves Florida's Elite Restoration. He swears by their service, which he used, unfortunately, in a disaster recently. To eventually, we'll get Sean on the podcast. He can tell you what happened there. Interesting story. Bottom line, floridaseliterestoration.com. Get there so you're prepared when disaster strikes.
You were at the Bucks this week following up on Sunday's, and I'm calling it deplorable. Deplorable. And I haven't used that word in a couple of years. Deplorable.
Yes,
setback to, you know, the Falcons. Well, you got good instincts. It's part of the reason you've lasted in this business as long as you have. So I'll ask you point blank. Did you see some players that a feeling of demoralization off Sunday's loss, or did you see instead a steadfast purpose and a determination to get back on track? Well, what did you see in that locker room?
Well, initially, and you know, first impressions can sometimes be inaccurate. Initially, I thought they were hiding. There was nobody in that locker room. And I remember I texted you, and you said, that's not a good sign. And that was inaccurate. After about 15, 20 minutes, more guys filtered in. And there was a bunch of guys there. And then I saw, you know, Ira's, we're walking out, we walk past the cafeteria. And at the worst, and this is a compliment, at worst, it was heartwarming. And guess who I saw in the lunchroom in the cafeteria with the players?
Ed Glazer.
No, Ryan Jensen.
Nice, I like that.
Yeah,
like
he doesn't have to be there, obviously, but that's the second or third time I've seen him in the locker room and in the cafeteria hanging out with his teammates. And I think that's a good sign. They seem to be chipper. They seem to be determined to turn things around. They seem to be, dare I say, embarrassed that the running game isn't going. I did not sense defeatism. Waving the white flag or anything like that. The impression I got was they know the season isn't close to being over. And I talked to Tristan Wirfs a little bit. I wasn't the only one, but you know, I asked him about that amazing stat I stumbled across a couple nights ago that the Bucks have 100%. They're starting five offensive linemen. They have the highest percentage of snaps together. And I remember Pat Kerlin we talked about this on previous podcasts. That's a very good sign. And Wirfs was, first off, Wirfs didn't know that, and he couldn't believe it. And he was like, wow. And then Wirfs, you know, echoed that that's a very good thing for down the road, the fact that they're all cohesive and it's a collective unit, et cetera, et cetera. Although that might be disrupted Thursday night with Filer's knee. I sense that the Bucks want to turn this around, that the season's not over. I know some fans are jumping off the Sunshine Skyway Bridge. I don't get that impression whatsoever with the Bucks. Not everybody listens to every one of your podcasts, Ira. That's a sin. I get it, but it's also reality. And I'll repeat what I said on the previous podcast, that in the locker room after that terrible game, as I saw Baker Mayfield walk across the locker room, I saw maybe a dozen players, offense, defense, backup, starters, going up to Mayfield, fist bumping him, bro hugging him. It looks like they've got his back. And you said you'd like that scene as well.
They're going to need every bit of it, determination going into Buffalo, because the Bills are pissed off.
Hey, yep. Sage, a couple of things here. First, regarding the Bills' run defense, they're 31st in the league in yards per attempt, but some of that, and it's no excuse, you know, but people like to get some perspective on it. Some of that is skewed by an 85-yard run against them on opening day. And so they've done a good job the last couple of weeks against the run. There was a 20-yarder in the last Bills game that was sort of a trick play by a wide receiver, and they held Saquon Barkley quite well. So they've sort of stabilized that. I don't think it's as bad as it looks on paper in any way because of that big 85-yard run. They've also faced some high-end running backs, and the Bucs don't have a high-end running back. You know, with Etienne, who's real hot, who's you know, had a good day against them. So I'm not sure it's as bad as the numbers by any stretch for the Bucks, but they still have to fix it. As far as the attitude, Sage, and the mentality, I'm glad you brought that up because we got some important things on that front here entering this game. You know, I think there's like a divide between what some fans are going crazy and what their expectations were for the season. You know, it's like a lot of people pick the Bucks 8 wins, 9 wins, whatever. So they're 3-3, and it's like people are going bananas. But what did you expect? You know, and I understand they were 3-1, and you know, and it's going in the wrong direction. But my question for you is ultimately, you see what happened with Minnesota, and does this make a difference to you that Minnesota started 0-3? And here they are without Justin Jefferson. They've won 3 out of 4. They were the better team. If you watch that game against the Niners, they were the better team all the way through. And yep, they had your Chiefs, Ira. They lost by a touchdown to the Chiefs, but twice they were driving for the tie in the fourth quarter. Long drives that ended. But what do you take away from the Vikings turning their season around, you know, as it relates to the Bucs sort of going in the wrong direction?
Steve, we are reminded once again of something that Lee brings up all the time, and correctly so. Whenever we talk about the Glazers and their attitude towards this franchise, Lee always says the same thing, and he's right. Which way is the arrow going? Lee says it all the time. Because I think that's a line that Joel has said to me many times at owners' meetings on the record. And that's what it's all about, Steve, in terms of where's Buck Nation right now? You said it in passing. They started 2-0, they started 3-1, and this is the way it's trending. That generates skepticism, panic in the streets, and the Vikings are opposite. They look dead in the water, and now they're trending upwards. And I looked at Minnesota's schedule. It's fairly favorable. I wouldn't count them out of a wild card spot necessarily. And if Detroit, you never know what happens in the division. Steve, it's all about momentum. And the momentum of the Bucks right now, 3 home losses, 2 losses in a row overall, heading into a tough Thursday night matchup. Buck fans are they're on edge. I'll tell you why, Lee, because there's a sense things could fall off the rails. And, Lee, I think you share that. You don't necessarily think it's going to happen, but at least you share that sentiment that it could happen.
Yeah.
And nobody was thinking that at 3-1. No, nobody.
You're right. Yeah, I hate to think that. I hope it doesn't happen. But, I mean, I see the reaction of fans just after that loss to Atlanta. I mean, and Steve mentioned it, too. It's like, you know, people are freaking out. Yeah, it's happening sooner than I anticipated, but it is happening. And nobody wants to talk about that, especially in October.
Steve, I want to talk about the Bills for a second in terms of this matchup.
And as Sage, when you're finished, you know, just throw your pick out there. Put your cannolis on the table there.
Okay, we'll do. Steve, let's talk about the Bills for a second. Now, Steve, there are good teams in this league. You know, the Eagles, the Chiefs, we think the 49ers, the Ravens. There's a lot of bad teams. Yes, I'm talking about you, Carolina, and the Raiders and, you know, your brethren out there. And then there's middle teams like the Bucks, maybe the Falcons. But, Steve, as we approach the midseason, there's no more puzzling organization than the Bills. They are the most puzzling team in this league, and I will tell you why. They're 4-3. All right, 4-3, not so terrible. Well, they're supposed to be an elite team, Lee. Elite. They have been anything but. And here's why the 4-3 marks them as the most puzzling. Lee, they're top 5 in scoring offense and scoring defense. Top 5. When they're on their game, they kill people. They kill people. But they're off the game a lot, too. They're converting third downs at a 48% clip. Very healthy. They've got 25 sacks, Lee, in 7 games. I mean, they're on pace to get 60 sacks. That's a huge number.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck is going on? They're +3, which is not tremendous, but they're +3 in turnover differential. That would normally be the first thing you look at when you're looking at all these positive stats and why a team's 4-3. By the way, the Bucks lead the league, Lee. Lead the league at +7. They lead the league. I can't figure the Bills out. There's something wrong. But one of the things that's wrong is their running game is very pedestrian. And to me, they got one receiver. One. The Bucks have two. They got one. Diggs. I'm not jumping on the Gabe Davis bandwagon. Yeah. The tight ends are okay.
Real quick, Sage. It came out yesterday or confirmed that Dawson Knox, their top tight end, is going to have surgery, so he's out. Their backup tight end is out, and they're down to their rookie number three tight end, Dalton Kincaid, as their only guy.
Steve, Diggs gets half the targets. Half the targets that Allen throws are the Diggs. So, you know, with somebody as adept at bowls, as bowls, and shutting down, you know, a one-dimensional team, that could work in their favor. All right, on to the game, gentlemen. I will go first. You're not going to like it, but I will go first. I don't like the looks of this at all. I just don't. I wasn't in the locker room like Lee. I didn't see the positivity like Lee. You can talk positivity all you want. I don't like this matchup. I don't like a road team going into a Thursday night game, Lee. I don't care who it is. That ain't good right off the bat. The Bucks are reeling. The Bills are seething. I don't like it, Steve. I don't like it one bit. I had my first loss of the year last week. I took the Bucks to beat the Falcons. I'll say it again. I'll say it forever. That game deserved to end in a 0-0 tie. That's how bad it was. Nobody deserved to win that game. I got the Bills on a roll 34-13. I don't like this matchup one bit.
Lee? So I was jumping the gun a little bit here. I guess I got to do mine. I wanted to respond to Ira's puzzling word to describe the Bills. And you, that's a pretty good description, Ira. One thing I believe all three of us have glossed over with the Bills, their defense is ravaged with injuries, especially with Milano. I mean, every NFL show I listen to, they're like that would be like the Bucks losing Levante Davis.
Yeah, he's the heart of that defense, Lee. There's no doubt about it.
Ira doesn't like road teams on Thursday nights, and I understand that. And I'll use one of the words Ira used. I, in particular, do not like reeling teams going on the road on a Thursday night. The Bucks are reeling, specifically offensively, not defensively. You know, I've been pretty clear. I don't think defense is the problem whatsoever. And the scores reinforces my the scores the defense has held teams to recently reinforces my point. But that offense, man alive, that offense. I'm going to say it's going to be a close game. I'm going to say Buffalo 24, Bucks 19.
All right, Sage, yeah, I'm glad Lee brought up the injuries with Buffalo. They've got a lot of them across the board. Their big cornerback is out. And they do run the ball pretty well, Ira. They actually do. I wasn't sure what you were talking about there, but
I guess I meant they don't run it very often. Not very often.
Let me pull it up here. I got it here. We'll put the Sage to the test. You know what, Sage? They are. We're going to have to split the difference here. They are 15th in the NFL in total attempts. So they're okay. They're right down. They're right.
Some of that is Josh Allen. Some of that is Josh Allen.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Sage. All right, so here's the thing. Ira, I agree with the road team. It's hard to ever pick the road team. It's on a Thursday night. But you know what? I don't see a good Bills football team. I did watch their last two games. That they're not playing well. And you know what? I like Baker Mayfield with his back against the wall. And I do think the Bucs match up well defensively to Buffalo, which is very important since their offense sucks. But you know what? I don't have all these bad vibes about the Bucks. I do think that the change at left guard, and I think Matt Filer with his knee injury, it's pretty obvious that he's not going to play at left guard on Thursday night. I think they might get a spark from whoever else goes in there just from a running standpoint. I do. I just think sometimes a guy comes off the bench on the offensive line and he's playing crazy. Look at Leverett last year. His first 2-3 games were real good, and then he settled in and everybody realized, okay, this guy's a backup. But sometimes that happens, and I think they might get a spark, and they still have talent there. So you know what? I'm going to pick the Bucks only because I think they still have all that talent on the team, and I believed in my heart this would be an up-and-down year all year long. So I think I'm going with them, Ira. I think they're going to win 21-17, and Bucks Nation is going to be out of their minds. And doesn't mean the Bucks won't lose a clunker the week after that, but I think I'll take Baker back against the wall. I think the Bucks are as ornery and as angry as Buffalo would be.
I'll tell you what, Steve, if you're right, this podcast takes a whole different turn next week. Yeah. And Lee and I hope you are correct, Steve. That's a bold call, Isbits. That's a bold call.
I don't even think it is, Ira, just because Buffalo's not playing well. And they just
they're 8.5 point underdogs. I mean, that's a big number.
I got you, Ira. Yeah, they're not playing well. They're not playing well. So you know, and Buffalo's had these issues on and off before. Defensive head coach, they do some weird things up there. They've escaped in a couple of games. You know, they blew out. They had three blowouts like you said. When they're on, but they don't have those a lot of those horses right now. So.
They could get Von Miller back. I'm not sure if Miller's playing or how much he's going to play. He could be a factor. Good.
Yeah, still dealing with some knee issues, Von Miller, and apparently they don't expect him to do much, but he'll be out there a little bit. But you know, the Bucks left and right tackles, they've been awesome at pass blocking. I can't worry about that. There's too much else to worry about with this offense. All right. Hey, Ira, look, it's an exciting time because it is a crossroads game for the Bucks, and hopefully they just look good. Before we get out of here, do you have any prediction as far as somebody you think is going to have a breakout game on this defense? Aside from your guy Winfield, who's just dominant, are you looking for something on the defense?
Well, I'm squarely looking at Devin White. You know, Lee, we've talked about it. He's looking for a big contract. Right now, I'm with Lee. I'm not giving it to him. He's not bad, but he's not elite. He could change all that markedly with an elite performance. Drop Josh Allen at least once. Get your hands on a couple of balls. Cause a fumble. Lee, there's times out there where an hour goes by, I don't even realize White's on the field.
He was awful quiet Sunday. I thought he was. I want to throw this at you, Ira. I think it's fair to say, you know, there's several players you could point to in 2020 and say, without them, the Bucks don't win a Super Bowl. Obviously, Tom Brady, that's a no-brainer. Gronk, etc. But White was one of those players. Yeah. I don't think the Bucks get past the Saints without White or Winfield, or even the Packers. So I think that's fair to say White was just absolutely fantastic in the playoffs. But it's been, you know, we're on our third season now, almost halfway through the third season since that. And I wrote this on Twitter responding to someone the other night. I don't think I'm out of bounds saying, at least with the Bucks, we will never see Devin White play at that level again.
Maybe Bowles has to turn him loose, and maybe he's not using him the same way as he did down the stretch in 2020. And, you know, I know there's different personnel, and Sue's not here, and JPP, and maybe his role changed, but Steve, for the sake of Devin White and sparking this defense to an even greater height, maybe he's got to turn this guy loose.
I don't know. What he do know is if Bowles thought that White was going to just tear up quarterbacks, he probably would have done it already. We're on I added it up, Sage, 13 consecutive games, no sacks for Devin White, which is something that would have seemed impossible a couple of years ago. So,
Steve, that's as crazy as Mike Evans going 11 games last year without a touchdown. It's just as crazy.
That's as crazy.
Wasn't one of the main reasons the Bucks spent the number 5 overall pick on White was because of his sacks, because of his pass rushing?
Yeah.
I think that was a factor, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
He's not pass rushing, so, you know, again, this is revisionist history, but would I have drafted White? No. I would have drafted Josh Allen, who's now with the Jags. Having said that, I don't believe the Bucks win the Super Bowl without Devin White.
Well, Sage, like you said, it's an unthinkable statistic, almost as unthinkable as you having steamed broccoli and brown rice for lunch. We're out of here, Ira. Be good, and we'll talk to you soon.